Well, good morning, church. Good morning, family. I hope you are hot enough because it's very cold here. I think you're here. We live in a place, it's called Iquitos. It's the jungle area of Peru. So we are like a little island surrounded by rivers, and 12 months is always hot. And so you can imagine from Hawaii and me being here with so much sun, which is a snow. We have a lot of sand there, but to do construction, right? But you have a lot of snow here. And so I just made a joke sometime that you just need to put some flavor in the snow and some color, and then you have free snow cone. Snow cone. So it's our honor and privilege for my wife and me to be here with you guys and to bring the Word of God and share with you. It's been an awesome 2 weeks for us to be here. Plus, it's cold for us, and we were wearing a lot of clothes, and which is good. So I'm becoming kind of like Canadian today, and so it's awesome. It was really good to have those two couples there in Iquitos with us. They were always taking showers, but not because in the shower, because they were sweating. So especially they went there to help us to do construction work, because currently we are building a kid's home. And I was always spoiling them, because every morning we have a huge pile of sand outside of the house. And so I always say, like, here is your wheelbarrow. Now it's all day moving sand from the street to inside the house. So you can imagine how they love that. Amen, right? Amen. So Iquitos, we live there in Peru, and that's the place we were born. And I'm very sure now that heaven is like Iquitos. It's not cold. And I think another requirement is that you need to learn Spanish. In heaven, they speak Spanish too. So, and it's good. It's really good to be here. It's really good to see what God is doing here as well, because we are one body. Right? We're one family, and we are enjoying to see in every part that God is taking us in these 2 weeks, just to see how God is shining, how you guys, the people of God, are allowing to be vulnerable and being used by God to reach the lost. Amen? So that's why we are here. So I would like to pray so we can start. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus to ask you for more, that we want to know you more. We want to be enjoy your presence and during this day, and while you use me to speak the word that you have for us. And we come as your children, as you are our daddy, and you enjoyed us. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the title that I put today and chose today for the topic is never give up to choose right. By the way, I have 30 minutes, right? That means 3 hours for me. Thank you. So I'm going to do my work now. So never give up to choose right. And just because God has never give up on us, and we can see from Genesis and the whole Bible that God was always going after us. He was always doing something to catch our attention, to tell us, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, and I have a purpose, a good purpose for you. And he was always doing that, until the point that even we were just running away, going after sin, going to our own hell, to own death, but until the point that he decided to send his own son, and he became a flesh man, through Jesus Christ, to just show us that he never gave up on us, that he never stopped loving us. He never stopped stopped doing what he wanted to do in us, that we can do whatever we want, that we can be running away far as we can from him, but he was never giving up on us, and he was always there. Even if the war situation was there, even with the war sickness was there, He was always there to show us something that is will tell us, I love you. I'm there. I am there for you. So I would like to read 1 John 4:19, and I'm using New Living Translation. It says, 4 John 4:19, it says, we love each other because he loved us first. Normally, we hear people saying that you need to take the first step in order that you do this or in order to reach this. But actually, God is the one who makes the first step for us in order that we can have an example to follow. The kids, I have 2 kids, 6 years old, 7 years old, a girl and boy, Giselle and Salvador. They are in Peru right now, counting the days and the hours that when we, mom and dad, will arrive. But they are copying us, everything they hear from us or they see in us. Because we always need somebody in front of us to be an example for us so we can do it. We can speak what we hear, what we see. So God did this in order. He always took the first step on us because he wants us to watch him. As the Bible says, Jesus telling Peter that you need to have your eyes focused on me. What does that mean? We need to be always having our eyes pointing at him. I hope this makes sense. Just because he is a dad and we are the children. And I cannot imagine me as a human, I want the best for my kids. But as a human, I make mistakes. But even in that condition, I want the best for my kids. So can you imagine God perfect, that he wants even more than the best for us? And so he's always open there without nothing that can stop his love, nothing that can stop his example, nothing that can be stopping his image, so we can see what he wants in us, so we can see what actually he is best for us, because as a dad, he wants his kids to enjoy the best of what he has. I don't know if this makes sense, but like I want my son to be a good behave. I want my son to speak good words, even for himself, so he can be a bless for himself and for other people. So, and the way I want him to speak is the way I need to work first in me, so I can teach him. So, what is the best example we have is Jesus. And Jesus himself never proclaimed, I'm doing my own will. When the disciple come to Jesus and ask him, why are you doing this? Or who are you doing this for? And he was always saying, I don't do my own will. I do my Father's will. So I do what he asked me to do. I speak what he asked me to speak. Because he is a son and he is replying what he is watching from his dad. He's following what his dad is doing. Amen? So, as you see, life is not fair. And as you see Jesus going through his years living in earth, he was punished, he was persecuted, he was killed, he was humiliated, you say that? Insulted. And it's written in the Bible when Jesus said, in this world you will have afflictions, but trust in me that I already overcame this for us. Because things that we weren't able to do, he already has done this for us. So we do what we need to do, and the rest that we couldn't do, he already has done this for us. So in order for us to love others, the verses here says, we love each other means more than one people, right? Love each other more than 2 people. But because he loved us first, why? Because he needed to be the example of what does love and what does love other means. So always God was taking the first step in front of us so we can see and so we know what we need to do. So in order to love your neighbor, that means start if you're married with your wife, your kids, your relatives, your roommates, workers, son, and in order to love them in a way that God wants you to love on them, you need to be loved first by God. So you don't come to love God first. You allow God to love you first. So then you will be able to love others. Because if you love by your own way, by your own strength, by your own knowledge, that kind of love is going to fail. That kind of love is interested on something that is not right, is not pure. But God's love is unconditionally, has so much grace and power that don't see anything that can stop that. You just love because you're being loved. So, and that love, the Bible says in Corinthians, that never gives up, never fails. It can endure everything. I think it says that. Why? Because in the Bible says too, there can be hope, faith, and love. But how you say it in English? The greatest is love, right? Then we can see in John 3:16, God has loved the world, right? He has sent His Son, the sign of love. And just because love psychologically, it says that a man without love is a person that is a wild animal. It's a crazy person that maybe no mental problem, but it's just an empty person that don't know where to go. But with love, psychologically, a person that has love in it is a person that know where to go, what's the purpose in life, and have a way to go. So, but we don't trust in the loves of the world. We trust in who brings the love, and this is God. God brings the love through Jesus Christ, and we need to be, as I said, we need to be vulnerable to be loved by God, because that love will be, at the same time, our mirror, so it can be our mirror where we can see things that we need to change, things that we need to change directions and habits and things like that, because God as a father wants the best for His children. When I say that and I start preaching that God loves us first, is I don't know about you, but in my case, I'm being Christian for 12 years now, and so I'm so passionate loving God and loving others. And this passion is basically because in my situation, I didn't grow up with dad or mom. I grew up with my mom and my grandmother, my uncle, my aunts. And so I never had a family image. I never had a family thing, no dad, no mom. And so now that when I came to Christ, God fixed that thing first. What a family means and how important is love in my life. Because one of the things I grew up was with hate against my father, because I used to live here and my father here. And it's like never seen from my dad coming to give me a hug or a word to say I love you, or if it is your birthday to come to say, hey, happy birthday, nothing like that until now. And so a complete person that even makes me to when to ask forgiveness to my dad, which is kind of crazy, because naturally he would be the one who need to come and ask forgiveness. But God told me that I was because I have those hate feelings, I wanted to kill him, or I killed him many times in my mind, it's like you need to go ask forgiveness. And I did it, and you don't know how much happiness that brought to my heart. And that helped me to grow more in my own relationship with God, because that is what God's love does or makes when you are vulnerable to allow that love to come into you. So, some of you hear a little bit the ministry we do in Iquitos, and
And I always say, I love church, but I love more going outside. I don't know if this makes sense. I love the church. I love to come together, but I love more going outside and reach people out there. And if you see in the Bible, through just Jesus' story, Jesus was always going to different places, and people were kind of like waiting for him because Jesus has something for them, right? But this is the thing. Jesus was always going to see, to going to meet the people because he was bringing his dad to there, his will of his dad to these places. What I mean by this is, for example, it is good to be here so we can praise and worship the Lord, but the word is just not here, right? This is the place where we come and enjoy and we rejoice, and then the work starts when we leave, not when we come here, but when we leave. Why? And if you see Jesus, always he was going to different places and being with the people in the needs where the people were. Like with this lady when he was walking and he came to a well, and then he found a lady, the Samaritan girl, and start talking to her. You will see more that Jesus was always reaching the people where they were at that moment in their needs. What does that mean? In our case, we go to drug halls in Iquitos. We go to places where churches don't go. There won't be a church service there. Why? Because are places that you go just to buy drugs, smoke, and do just bad stuff. So, and we love to go there. And some people, when they ask me, where is your church? I say, the street. And just because I love to go there and bring the church there, because that's what Jesus was doing. He was bringing his Father's will to the people outside, reaching the people in their needs, in where they were at that moment. I don't know if this makes sense. And so, and this morning we're going to have communion here, and it's awesome. We're going to come to remember what Jesus has done. And we do the same in those drug halls. And it's like, how can you bring let's say symbolically, right, the bread and the juice to here? This is a nasty place, dirty place. People are so high, drunk, and selling drugs or fighting or puking or all that kind of stuff. But it's like Jesus will be here. And Jesus now is sending his people. Because Jesus... Amen. I use this now. I was getting fired, bro. Come on. My goodness. So, hallelujah. So, if Jesus would be here, he won't just come to the service. He will be outside reaching people, right? And there are many people here that don't live in one home. I don't think everybody lives in one home here, right? So, each one of you has the opportunity to see more people and more people in different places and has more opportunities to reach those people for Christ. But in order that this can happen, you need to be allowed to be loved first by God so you can love others. Amen? So you don't do this in your strength, because it's not about us, it's all about Him. When we understand that, we have so... peace when you go out, because you know that you are not going to be the Jesus. It's Jesus through you. It's Jesus in you that is going to do the work, but you are allowing Jesus in you be through you to other people. Amen? So we bring communion to you, or birthday parties, for example. Like, who don't like a birthday party in their home, right? Like for me, I think it was my first birthday party. My life was like at the age of 22. That was the first time that it was a celebration for me. It was beautiful because I never had the experience in my life. And the thing is, Like bringing these things to places that people don't expect is what Jesus was doing, will be doing. Because the Bible talks about that we are crazy for the world, right? What does a crazy person does? Crazy things, right? Things that I would say in this way, things that you don't expect rationally, they will do, that you should do, right? And so when you do things, and Jesus was always doing irrational things. Why? It can drive us crazy. So we can start thinking. And so we can start having doubt. So we can start saying, is that true? Like my wife she asked me one question before she was my wife. And that was the first time I met her. They were talking about God, and they were talking about the Bible, Jesus, and I didn't believe that way at that moment. And then she asked me after I was speaking about God, can be Buddha, can be Krishna, can be mysticism, can be meditation, and all the kind of crazy stuff now. And she asked, do you think are you son of God? And I said, yes, because I believe in God, but you don't speak like a son of God. So I said, nah, you don't know anything. And because she was turning to 15 years old, and I believe it was well knowledge. But when I returned to my house, that parasite was in my head. That doubt was in my head. And it's like, am I a son of God or not? Am I a tree, like a home, like a dog? What am I? And so, long story. And so, but God is always doing through his son, Jesus, and crazy things, so people get thinking now. Like Jesus going to eat with the small guy who was a tax collector. Help me with the name. Yes, Zacchaeus. That's in English, right? Awesome. Zacchaeus. In Spanish, it's Zaqueo. And people, the Bible says that people start gossiping, start murmuring. They say, why this man is going to eat with the sinner? Because Jesus then said, I came for the sickness, for the one that are needed, right? That are the ones that are sick. So, and that's our call too. I don't know where that call is in your life, but there is a call for each one of us, and the pastor needs help as well from everybody here, because it's a work that God calls us to everyone to do here. And then when you start, let's go to Luke 6:29. 19 minutes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke 6:29, it says, if someone slap you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. I love this verse, especially the verse 29. It says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. It's just because this is, for me, the ministry we do. Because the places that we go, we find people that are so high and drunk or just fighting. And it's very... the chances are very high that people can come and hit you and spit on you and yell at you or steal from you. And by the way, I have a beautiful story about that, my own story. So we were going to drug halls, and we were meeting new street guys, and then we were bringing these guys to a home that we opened for them so we can help them. So they were always telling us, there is another drug hole in Belén, in lower Belén. Belén is a district, one of the districts in Iquitos, and it's a flooding zone, and the homes are just wood with long poles because the water comes. And So in that area of Belén, you don't normally go to unless you are from there. Why? Because Belén is a dangerous place. During the day, it is even worse at night. If you go, some people say Belén is the Venice of Peru. You say Venice, Venice, oh, Venice, like Italy, with a V. Yes. And because it floods, and it's, but it's not at all, because when it floods, all the sewage water is there, all the trash is there, and everything is there. And people just live there, and it's forbidden to live there, but people live there. For reasons like sex trafficking, human trafficking, and so many stolen things goes there. So if the phone costs in $100, you are gonna get for $5 there. So it's a good deal, right? No. So and so we were hearing that about the drug call of Belén, and knowing that is one of the worst one in Peru, in Iquitos, just because they steal from you, they rob you, they can kill you, and they kill actually, like they kill. That's good. And so one night, I was leaving school, and I was meeting my team doing the drug hole ministry, and we were just in another drug hole, like kind of safer. And then I came up with the idea, why don't we go to Belén right now? It was like midnight, and it's like, no, it's dangerous. Come on, we're going to heaven. That's it. And so we start going to Belén, and that was a flooding season. So you have to go from the top Belén and start walking through some stairs and go to the lower Belén, and then start walking in just funky bridges that is like dancing. And it's dark. Everything is dark. And there is light, yes, but it's dark and water, trash. So we start walking, going to these bridges. And then we go to the street of the drugs. And we start singing, worshiping with our drum. And we start yelling, like screaming, and which is normal there because 24 hours is party there. So a lot of, if we make noise, it's nothing compared with the speakers they use at night. So I don't know how they sleep. So, and then we start singing, and people are just coming to say, oh, they're the Christian ones. And we start sharing the gospel to them, and just telling them how Jesus loves them, and what the plan that Jesus can have for them if they decide to come to follow Jesus. And people were just coming with their cigarette with drugs in it, and start doing this to our face so we can get high. But then normally it's like, they were kind of like saying, oh, you can get high with me. And say, are you already high with Jesus? And it's like, no, what's that? It's just Jesus, you know? And that's the way how I speak actually there. So, and then one drug dealer comes to me and says, hey, you're the pastor, right? You say, yeah. Watch out your fanny pack, because people already put their eyes on your fanny pack. And that was a big mistake of me. But we were not planning to go to Belén, actually. But it was just, boom, came that moment, the idea. So I was holding my fanny pack where my phone was. Sadly, my wife's phone was there, too. And the money for the week of food of the house that we had was there. So I covered the fanny pack with my T-shirt. So very good. So it can be safe. And then we start leaving. It was around 1 in the morning. We start leaving the drug hole. And then start walking again those stairs. And there were like 4 young boys in the middle of these stairs. And I was in front of the group. And I start shaking their hands and say, hey, you're so young. Don't waste your young age in here. Don't let these drugs to kill you. Jesus has something for you. You need to come and learn about Jesus. And then I was just saying that. And to the last one, I start shaking his hand. He stand up and he pushed me. So I don't want to fall down in the stairs, so I grab him here, and the other guy comes, and he knew about my fanny pack, grab my fanny pack from my T-shirt, break it. So I grab my fanny pack, and we start fighting like this, boom, 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 and the other guy come with a piece of wood and breaking my head. But it's my wife's cell phone, that would be a trouble, and it's money for food. I don't want to leave my fanny pack, and we keep fighting like that. And then the other guy come with a piece of brick, And when I saw that, it's like, that's serious. I let go of my fanny pack. The guys just start running away and just looking at them. And it's just saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And then I start sweating. So I clean my forehead. It was not sweat. It was blood. They cut my head. It was awesome. So next morning, well, actually that night, my boss, we went with my boss that night. And it's like, Rodo, don't come back. Don't come back. Don't come back. Okay. So sometimes I don't obey, you know. And so next morning, I couldn't even sleep that night, actually, because I was like, how is that possible? How is that possible? So next morning, I came by myself, and it was just daylight. It's still dangerous, but not as at night, but still dangerous. So I came in the morning. I went back to Belen and started going to the same place, stairs, watching where I was hit, and then go to the drug hall. And then the drug dealer came to me and say, hey, Pastor, you were robbed last night, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a big news right now. Everybody knows that you were robbed last night. Oh, I know that. And by the way, he says, that the young boy who hit you, your head, it's in here, sleeping right now, inside the houses where they go to smoke. So they were being Santa Claus here because they have all your money and they were buying drugs for everybody. And it's, but the guy, the young boy is sleeping right now inside the house. So, Pastor, just give me the permission and I'm going to beat the crap of him in front of you so he, the next time he respect you. And then as soon he said that, boom, here I am with Jesus at that moment. And when Jesus was in the cross and Jesus, and then the Pharisee was telling Jesus, you were saving others, right? Save yourself now. Like, come down from that cross. And Jesus was just looking down and saying, like, because I love you, I won't come down. And then talking to his dad, and then he would say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And boom, here again with a drug dealer. I look up to the drug dealer, and I say, you know, what this young boy did to me is nothing compared to what I did to somebody, because I killed somebody. And then he looked at me, did you kill somebody, Pastor? Yes, I did, but that somebody didn't just stay there. He, in the third day, he raised up, and then he now forgave me and gave me life. His name is Jesus. And then this drug dealer is like, oh, that's crazy. You don't do that here. I know you don't do that here, but Jesus can do this here. So tell this young boy when he wakes up that I already forgive him, and tell him that I love him as well, but tell him next time don't hit my head again. So the drug dealer was just boom with that. And I start walking away. And then another young boy comes to me and say, you are the pastor that was robbed last night. Yes. Oh, here is your wallet. And it's like, that's a miracle, because normally they steal from you and then they throw away in the trash. And then my wallet was there, my cards, my license, everything that was very important for me was there. And it was just a miracle. But, you know, God used that as a key for us that now we can go there as a place that is our home for us. Because as the couple that were there, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when we arrive there, we don't go like, hey, can we preach or can we share? No, we just go and it is like our home for us. We go there and some people call me there like daddy. And I was only 26 years old at that moment. And it's like, but those places, not only one, the Belen, but we have other places as well that are still in this addiction of drugs. But we go there because we know Jesus will be there reaching them. And we don't go there to say, you're going to hell. We go say, Jesus is bringing salvation to you. As the woman of adultery was caught and was brought by the masters of law to Jesus. And then they said to Jesus, oh, this woman was found in this sin. And the law says that she would need to be stoned, right? And Jesus, what it said? I didn't come to condemn you, but to save you. Go and no sin, no, and no sin no more. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me do this. Galatians 6:9. 31. Oh my goodness, forgive me, Pastor. Galatians 6:9, it says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. It's just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It can be, okay. I'm going to read this again. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. It's just right in just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It can be so frustrating for us sometimes, or most of the times, when we try to reach some people and they don't want to give up their sin or their lives. But remember, it's not about us. It's about Jesus in us and through us. He is doing the work. We just need to be vulnerable and be obedient of what He wants us to do. So for God, He has sent His Son to show us that He doesn't give up on us. So, and now Jesus is not here, right? He is at the right of His Father. And now He has chosen us to be here and reach the lost. So, thank you so much for this morning. And God doesn't give up on us. So, don't give up on what God has called you to do. Amen? Let's go to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the sacrifice you have done for each one of us. But we know this is one way how you were showing how you were obedient to your dad, and how you were showing us one more time that it's better for us to listen to the Father and know what's His will, because it's perfect and is the best for us. And this morning, I would encourage you, church, and if you are here for the first time or you're dealing with some struggles, and let me encourage you to invite Jesus into your heart and accept Him as your personal Savior and Lord, because radically He will change your life and He will give you the strength and peace you need, so you can understand many things. We ask you this in the name of Jesus to you, Father. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.